to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labours? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Amen.
Now look, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And tonight we have two verses for us. I'll read you these two verses in a moment. But just to say to you that these two verses, they are found in God's Word. They're given to us through the Apostle Paul. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. And these verses, these words which we're going to hear, is God's Word. And you'll know something about God's Word. God's Word confronts us. God's Word impresses upon us. God's Word challenges us. Now, you would have known and heard many words this week. You've been taught perhaps many things. You've been told many things. But one of the distinctive aspects of God's Word is that it corners us at some time. It puts upon us weighty things, eternal things. When we come to God's Word, we're confronted with that which is then of the ultimate significance. That's one of the characteristics. When you know that God has been speaking to you, is that you realize that this now is something not which I've heard anywhere else. I'm just going to read these words now to you and listen to them. We're thinking here now of God's Word, and He speaks to us even through the reading itself. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And when Paul then speaks these words, what happens is, as you read there, he said, we are workers together with Him also. We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And it's that pleading, again, which you have. We know something of that pleading that God even has for us this night. When you think of all that God has done, you may not realize it, but God is pleading with people. There's not anything in any shape or any way which is laid back at this time which we're going to hear. When God sent His Son, He sent Him into this world with such love. He sent Him with a great purpose to call men and women to Himself. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross, those arms which are outstretched, there's something of that which we know tonight, where God then is outstretching His arms, and He does plead with people. He really does, that they may come and know His grace and come to believe, and they plead then with Him in such a way that you would come to Him. And you see, You may be tonight that you have, you know, many questions. Questions about God, questions about the Bible, questions about creation, questions about life, questions about salvation. And you know, we'd be here to answer all those questions. Not that we could, but if you had a question, we would gladly say to you, let's talk about those questions. And if you had then doubts, then we would talk about those doubts. But for tonight, I'm not so concerned about the questions. I'm just going to give you the appeal which has been made to us in this verse. And we plead with you that in the acceptable time, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And it's that thought then for us, for this very moment, that what you have now, just simply here, when it says in the first verse, we then are workers together. You read something of that in verse 20 of chapter 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And the reason for that is simply this. Because in verse 21, he tells us, for he that knew no sin was, he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And with that great message, that message now, that the Apostle Paul says, that he's been set apart as called of God, as an ambassador of the Almighty, that you may know that great and wonderful news which then has come, and that news of the Lord Jesus Christ to us, that you would come and experience that yourself. And what happens here in this very word then, we find this, is that this church is very interesting when he says to them, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now we think of this, don't we, as for those which are outside. But when Paul is writing this letter, he's writing it to people who are in a church context. They're there in a service. They're there at Corinth. And you know, they are people who have known something of the very grace of God. You may not realize it, but when you come into this place tonight, there's a place where you can know something of the unmerited favor of God. And God deals with us, not in how we deserve, but this wonderful grace in which we have sung tonight. You can know something. You experience it that no one else knows. They had come to know. The church at Corinth had come to know the great message of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the fact that they could know salvation and eternal life. They knew what it was that God had sent his Son into the world. It had been preached to them. Other people were in darkness, but they knew something of the light. They had preached to them and known to them that there was a God and a Son. His name was Jesus. He died on that cross. And as he died on that cross, he took the sins of those who believe in him away. And they knew and heard that he rose again on the third day. And then there was great hope, which then was to be given. And what you find then here is simply this, is that you come to know, these people had come to know this at this moment, that they had come to know the very blessings of what God had come to give. And when you come to a place like this tonight, you may not realize it, but there is a means of grace by which God is speaking to you. Not that any one of us deserves it in any shape or any form. There's the means by which he comes and converts people through the preaching of the word. There's the means of grace by which we can come and pray. There's a place where we know the message of grace. And he says to them, now I plead with you, those of you who have known something of this grace which has been given to you, that you may not receive it in vain, that although you've heard it, you may not have believed it, you may not have experienced it, but you've known something of that grace. And again now, you're going to find something else. There is now this grace that you also know this evening. And what happens is this, is that there are those of you here. And what takes place is that you yourselves have perhaps come to know something of this message. And you have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have known of that in your life and in your experience. You need to know that that is God's real favor upon you. There is no one who knows, there are many who do not know this night. And as you have come, perhaps you have come for many a year, and as you have come, what takes place is this, is that God's got something to say to you. You've listened on many occasions. Don't receive this grace in vain. Behold, today is the day of salvation. That's it. You don't realize, perhaps, of the goodness of God, which you have been able to experience, which many have not. And actually, this grace, can I talk to you, because you may have experienced something of that in a little measure. You may not know the gospel, but you'll say in your life, God has been good to you. He's been kind to you. God has answered your prayers. And there's been times where you were in great need. Perhaps you were ill, perhaps you were sick. I don't know what took place. Something happened, everything was falling apart, and you turned to God, and you prayed to him. And you know what happened? Is that God heard your cry. And when you look back, you realize that you've not actually responded in any significant way to God through his great kindness and through his goodness. I know many times, you know, when people are sick and they are ill, there are times when they do turn to God. And there they have, and they've made their promises, and they've come to a place where they have asked God for help. Now, that may be you. So, for example, you may have even seen the very miracles of God within your life. God has been good, and he's been kind, and you've known of that. And over the years, let me ask you the question, what have you done with that grace of God, his kindness towards you? And yet it's been many years and you've not responded in any way. That's the word which you have here, and it's this. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is that day of salvation. Let me tell you something else about this grace, because you may not realize it, but God is gracious in many ways. There's such a thing as common grace. That is, that as you live your life, even here in this community, God's been good to us every single day. You've got your shops which you can buy your food from, your schools which you can send your children to, you've got your doctors you can go and visit, you've got the pharmacy for your medicine, you've got your friends in which you can meet, you've got peace in which you can live, you've got freedom and liberty which you can speak and know something of this word of God. You may not understand it, but you know all that comes is actually because of the sheer freeness and goodness of God within our lives. And we, even as a nation, although we may speak of grace and of common grace, do you know we're also recipients, aren't we, of this wonderful, special grace of our Lord and Saviour. Think of this land of Wales. For 1,800 years, we have known of the gospel in this country. Some of the martyrs which gave their life to stand for the truth and the light. And when you think of the heritage that you have had, you know, in your experience, you may not realize, but the very way that this world and this country functions is because God met with it in the past. And in our places of our tongues, there was places where God's word was taught and his ways were shown. And we have enjoyed the fruit of that. But don't you realize that this moment, things are changing. They're changing rapidly. Look from 5 years to 5 years, decade to decade, things are being removed from us. And you may not understand, but think of it tonight. There was a time when this town was buzzing on a Sunday night with places of worship to go. And you've had to hunt far and wide just to find a place where the gospel could be preached. And although you may think that you've got all the days and all the time in the world, do you not realize there may come a day in the short future, and one day you'll be at home and there will be no gospel, no good news, no light, no word being given and preached by which men can be saved in our little communities, in our villages. And you know, you may not have realized, but here it is, that there is a day, this day which God has given us. And he says here, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And you have an opportunity. There's a way which God comes and he saves people. And one of the means is this, that faith comes through the preaching of that word of God. And these meetings that we have, they're extra special, where God has promised to be present and to hear your cry. And there is this which has been given to us. Just want you to think upon that for a moment, because there's something else that I need to impress upon you. Not only of the grace, but of this verse which you find here, it's the acceptable time I heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And just to bring it to a head, Paul writes here a verse from the Old Testament. He is quoting from the book of Isaiah, and he's telling us of a day which will come. He's speaking now of the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this day, he says there's an acceptable time. I need you to hear this. There is a day and a time by which you can know salvation and you can respond to God. And there is a time which is given for everything. That's our reading that we had tonight. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to hate and there's a time to love. There's a time to gather stones. There's a time to throw stones away. There's a time and a moment for everything in life. And now Paul tells them, I don't want you to receive this grace in vain, because now is the acceptable time which God has given. And you know that, don't you, in your life? That there are moments where you're dealing with people, when you can call upon him and where you can call upon others. I'll give you an example. You may be thinking of making a phone call to someone. And what you're going to do, you say to yourself, well, I tell you now, I'm going to make that phone call tonight before it's too late. And when you mean by too late, you mean before perhaps 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And then perhaps you may not have phoned, and you say, well, I'm going to phone them now in the morning, but I'm not going to phone them too early. It's not going to be before 8 o'clock. It's going to be, you know, an acceptable time. Give them chance to get out of bed and to sort themselves out. I'll make the phone call. And perhaps you also have someone that you know, they work and they go to work, and they take their phone with them, and they've told you, don't phone me when I'm working. Don't phone me then. But you can phone me between 12 and 1. You can phone me on my lunch break. There's the acceptable time. I can't pick up the phone when I'm working. I'm busy. Those are my hours. But then you can phone me. And so it is now God's given us, you see, a time in which we can come to him. An acceptable time. This is what the Bible says. It says this. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he can be found. You're to do that. And you say, well, when's that? There's a moment which is acceptable. And God has given that to us in this life. I want you to think upon it. There is a moment given to us. Just very interesting. I'm going to give you two little verses. There's a little verse from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Leviticus. And what happens is that in those days, they were to come and to bring a sacrifice. And the sacrifice, one of them was this, was the peace offering. The peace offering. So you were to come to give the peace offering. And it was one of those offerings which was to be ate. And this is what it says. Now, you bring your offering. It's sacrificed. You're to eat it. And then it says this in these very words. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it may also be eaten. And then he goes on and he tells us this. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it will not be accepted. Wasn't accepted. There was a moment that you've got. I show you another little verse. It's found from the New Testament. Actually, when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? When he comes into this world, he tells us there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 19. Jesus Christ, as he begins his ministry, to proclaim what? The acceptable year of the Lord. And that year now is the year that you and me live in. It's the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has come at this very time, it's this very day of grace in which we live. A day now where the very Christ came, he died, he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven. And even now tonight, we still are in that wonderful day of grace. You find it again in Matthew chapter 25. And in verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. He teaches about the day when he's going to come back again. And he tells us about these virgins, five wise, five foolish. And then there was those who had no oil in their lamp. And then when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. But they were ready, went and in with him to the wedding. But the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And now he doesn't open because the day has passed. The day of grace has gone. There's a day for you. And please don't get fooled in any way. The day of grace is in this world. It is now. It is before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. It is the very moment that we have at this time. This acceptable. God says, as he deals with us, this is an acceptable time. This is the time where I'm calling you. I'm pleading with you. I'm coming to you in my messengers. And I'm coming in such a way that you would come now and you will come and believe and you'll put your faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. And when it comes to another day, that's not acceptable. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And with that, that's where the pressure comes. And it's right to have that pressure. Because, look, this world's coming to an end. You're in great danger. You may not realize it, but our days, we don't know. And every time you sit under the gospel, and you come to a place such as this, that is God being exceptionally good to you, incredibly kind. And we don't deserve it in any shape or any form. And that's why the Apostle Paul then says, I plead with you. Because you may not realize it, but there's coming a day where you may not even be able to find your way to the house of God. There'll come a day you'll be too sick and you'll be too ill. There'll come a day where your mind is gone and the preacher comes to you, but that's all gone. Do you realize there was a day? It was a day when you were here. Your faculties were open. You were listening and you heard. That day, he says, look, this is the acceptable time. I just want to concentrate on something else at the end of that verse. And he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, I've expanded something of that in the fact that this whole period in which we're living is the day. But God's word comes to us like this. We never have tomorrow in God's word. You only got today. That's one thing I'm sure you must have learnt in life by now. And we just simply don't know about tomorrow. What will happen to us, what will take place. We make our plans, we think of the future, we've got our holidays and thinking of birthdays and the rest of it, but you just don't know. We just simply don't know. And when the Bible speaks to us, it always speaks to us about today. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries for itself. You just worry for this moment. And as I mentioned to you, when we speak about today, we've literally only got the very breath that we're breathing in this very moment. You know that, don't you? Just this moment. In a moment, any one of us could be taken, really, to eternity, to face a judgment, to know. It is as like that. I could tell you many stories. I don't want to, but I can tell you. We had a man who was preaching here when we were in our younger days, and when he came, and it wasn't in this church, but he preached me on a number of occasions. And I don't want to scare you, but as he was preaching, he was taken to glory and fell straight back. When the doctor came, he said he had gone before he hit the floor. Before he hit the floor. And you realize that you haven't got that which is you think you've got. But it's always for today. The Lord Jesus, this is what he says. He speaks about a man who has come and done well for himself in this world. And because he's done so well, he gets all his stock and he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to build my barns. You know the story. I'll build my barns so that I've got much now for many years to come, and that he could take his ease and he could then retire in some way. And then the Lord Jesus speaks those words. You fool, this night your soul was required of you. And when the Bible comes and it tells us, look, today is the day, because you just don't know of tomorrow. There are people who have been in this congregation and have not made it to the next Sunday. They've sat in the pew, but they're gone before the week is out. There are those which have sat in these pews, and you say, so-and-so, what happened to that person who came in? What happened to that man and that woman? Chris, you must have upset them in some way. And they never came back. Yeah, I tell you what, they're dead. They're dead. They died. That's what happened to them. They came, went on holiday, jumped in the pool, gone. He only came for a few moments, a few weeks took place, wanted to respond, then the news comes, gone. You say, that was a moment, wasn't it? They'd come, and you begin to realize. Now, listen to the word. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And if you are one person who has been born and bred in Pembrokeshire, you've got a massive problem in your life. And the problem is this, there's always tomorrow. And if you are someone who is born in Pembrokeshire and you know of his promise, it's like there's some disease that's in our veins called procrastination. And we always think that we can put it off. But the Bible tells us it's today. Now, I know that that may be a lot of pressure, but I want to put it like this. There are many of you which have listened to this message. It's not the first time. It's not the second time. It's not the third time. You've been thinking about this message for a long time. And you've been challenged with the message for a long time. Actually, what you've done is that you've actually gone through all your objections, whether Christ is the Son of God, whether there is a God. You know that Jesus died for your sins. You believe that he actually rose again from the dead. You have gone through all that, and what's happened is you now have no objections whatsoever to the gospel that you have heard time and time again. Here's the verse. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Today, come and receive him. And put your trust in him and believe in him. Before you go from this place tonight, that you would say, "Why, I'm going to do business with God. I'm going to sit in this seat and I'm going to call upon his name. I don't know what I've been doing. I've just sat there. And I've never responded." And that you come and that you respond. Now there's a message for you. And then there's a message for someone else here. And I want you to think upon it. Because many times people come and they have diagnosis in their lives. And that's why they do come. They come because they need help. They need healing. They're sick. You may have been given a certain time in which you can live, and the doctors give their kind of knowledge and expertise upon what's taking place. Now listen to this very carefully. Listen to it carefully. I know what people need. This is not the day of healing. It's the day of salvation. Did you understand that? God can hear your prayers. He can answer you. He'll be kind to you. You come to him. But don't you realize that these illnesses that we have, they shorten our days. The shadows are lengthening. It's coming to an end. And there's a word for you. Today. Let me just speak to someone else here for a moment. And this is really, really important. There are those of you who would have sat in the pew, and when this word is being spoken, now please know what's taking place. It's like if your mind is just exploding. It's like if your heart is pumping, and it's like if everything is becoming real to you. There are certain days where God comes especially close to you when you're in a place of worship. Especially close. You know what it's like. You're bored out of your brains. You come on a Sunday. You can't wait for this. But this Sunday, it's different. And all of a sudden, you know, someone is speaking and you think it's God. And you know it and you feel it. Do you know the Bible? This is what we're taught. Strike while the iron is hot. There is a moment in your life where God has called you and coming, and as he does and he works upon your life, those moments are few and far between. They're vital moments. And that's a moment where you say, I'm going to come, and this is the day, this is the moment, and I'm going to give and respond in my life to God. There's a day. I want you to think of your days. Coming to an end, right? Let's just come to an end. Just get some grip. If you're 60, how many summers do you think you're going to see again? Oh, come on. Those of you who are 80, how many do you honestly think of the opportunities which God gives us? You know that he's come. This is the day. It's now. It's in this life. It's not in the life to come. And we plead with people. We're ambassadors for Christ. Why is this? Because of this. For he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. Don't receive that in vain. Perhaps we'll pray. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we're thankful for your word tonight. We've listened to many speeches in our life. We have known much talk in our lives. We've come here tonight and we hear something different, something else, something of an urgency, something of eternal significance. Father, we are mindful that in our lives, this is a moment which you have made special. We ask you that you would be gracious to each and every one of us, that Lord, of the gospel which we have heard, that you would please, Lord, help each and every one of us to receive this word, and that it may not be in vain. We ask you that. We believe your spirit is able. We believe the word is powerful. Our hearts are hard, but we're thankful. Father, may this be even a day of salvation. Amen.